الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته سلاما تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Eid Mubarak to all of you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your fasting, tilawat al-Quran, your salawat, your khairat, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the opportunity to do this again and again in good health, year after year after year, until it is time to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I remind myself and you that the celebration of Eid al-Fitr and basically celebration of both our Eidain is based on three things. There are three bases of celebration of this Eid. The first of them is shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ibrahim, وَإِذْ تَعَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّا أَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, announce this and give this adhan and make this announcement on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the one who is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ni'mat that he has given him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase that blessing for him. And the one who is ungrateful, let him beware of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is very severe. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our fasting and so on, and we make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase both the opportunity for good deeds as well as the reward for them in keeping with His majesty and grace. My brothers and sisters, we are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having blessed us with Ramadan and with the ability to take advantage of it in good health. Please reflect on this, how many people are there that we know in our own families for whom we have to give fidya because they are too old or they are weak or they are sick or something and they cannot fast. I know the kind of mental turmoil they go through. People come and ask me, is it okay? I fasted all my life. I'm now 85 years old. I want to still fast. But my doctor tells me I can't do that or something is the matter. So is it okay to give fidya? So seriously, we have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't just do a date change and bring Ramadan into our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gave us good health and the ability to take full advantage of Ramadan, and all praise for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for doing this. And those who really did take full advantage of that Ramadan, it is something that you need to be happy about, and it is something that you need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about. Reflect on what Ramadan brought us. Ramadan brought us increase in our taqwa. This is the purpose of Ramadan, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Kutiba alaykumus siyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, fasting has been prescribed on you as it was prescribed for those before you, so that your taqwa, your consciousness about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's presence in your life increases. Ramadan also brought us an increase in the reward for the same deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the reward of fard for every nafil, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us 70 times the reward for every fard that we did. Reward for fard for nafil and 70 faraid, 70 times the reward for every fard. This is what Ramadan al-Kareem gave us. The rewards for deeds increased. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the opportunity to make aitikaf in His house where we were the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That whole period of aitikaf was a period where we were the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without question. We will not be questioned about that, inshallah. All our deeds were deeds of ibadah, including our sleep was counted as ibadah, alhamdulillah. And most and the greatest of all these rewards was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us Laylatul Qadr. Those of us who were able to take advantage of Laylatul Qadr, may Allah make that true for all of us, got the reward of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincere and without riya for continuously for a period of 1,000 months and more. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, khayrun min al-fishar. Allah did not say 1,000 months, Allah said more than 1,000 months. And Allah knows how much more. But even if you take the count of 1,000 months, that is 83 something years, which is probably more than the age of any single person here. And you got the reward of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously for that period of time just by worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that one night. This is what Ramadan al-Kareem brought us. So we need to express our thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do you do that? By increasing our itaat. And that is the reason why the symbol of our both our Eden is Salah. We begin our celebration not by firecrackers or not by getting drunk or not by dancing in the streets or any other way. We do that by obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. The Salah is the symbol of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. The Salah is not restricted to obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside the masjid. It extends to obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every aspect of our life. So beware of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the name of celebration of Eid. That is the worst sin, because you are disobeying Allah and you are saying that you are disobeying Allah in order to celebrate something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you as a blessing. How shameful is that? That is to stand up and challenge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu in his jalal. And if anybody wants to do that, then beware and wait for the result of that challenge. And if anyone else is doing that, do not participate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ta'awanu alal birri wa taqwa wa la ta'awanu alal ithmi wal udwan. Allah said, help each other in al birr and al taqwa, in goodness, in piety, and in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And do not help each other. Hukam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ta'awanu alal ithmi wal udwan. And do not help one another in sin and disobedience and rebelliousness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you find, do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the name of celebration. And if somebody is doing it and invites you, reject that. Tell them very clearly, what you are doing is wrong and I will not participate in that because I fear the adab and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. My brothers and sisters, first base of celebration is shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second base of celebration is charity. It is khairat, it is sadaqat, because that is why this is called Eid al-Fitr, because we give sadaqat al-Fitr in this Eid. It is to share the goodness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are among those who give sadaqat al-Fitr. You are not among those who are entitled to receive sadaqat al-Fitr. We hear a lot of arguments and a lot of debate and so on whether zakat is, am I liable to pay a zakat on this thing or that thing? And then if you tell them you are liable to pay a zakat, they will say all my wealth will decrease. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said your wealth will increase and you are saying wealth will decrease. So you are right or is Allah right? So I always tell people, you can have one of two problems. You can be one who has this problem, within quotes, of giving zakat, or you can be one who has a problem of receiving zakat. Decide where you want to be. No problem. You don't want to give zakat? No problem. Then Allah will put you in a place where you will be entitled to receive zakat. Then you don't have this worry about what shall I do with all this wealth. No problem. Allah can take it away in 1 second. And if you don't believe me, go read the newspapers. See what is happening around you and me every day. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah gave you wealth. Use that wealth in itaat, in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give zakat and sadaqat and give more than that. Not only that 2.5% or whatever it is. Be very, very clear in your life. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very clearly about the second basis of celebration. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, anfiqu mimma razaqnakum min qabli an ya'tiya yawm la bay'un fihi wala khullatum wala shafa' wal kafiruna humu zalimun. The ayat just before ayat al-Kursi in Surah al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, spend from what we have given you. Before a day comes on you, when there will be no baya, no khulla, no shafa, there will be no trade, there will be no exchange, there will be no friendship, and there will be no intercession, illa mashallah. Wait for that day and spend from what we have given before that day, and do not be among those who are transgressors and the kafirun, the people who reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the ones who are doing zulm. These are the ones who are the oppressors. Let us not be among those who have been described in this ayah. Let us be among those who accept this hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gladly and with great joy, and we say alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this opportunity to give sadaqat and khairat. My brothers and sisters, please remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us in this world for what? Allah said, kuntum khaira ummatin ukhrijat linnas. Allah said, we have been selected, you have been selected from people so that you are beneficial to people. Kuntum khaira ummatin, you are the best of people, best of the ummah, Ukhrijat linnas, you have been extracted and selected for the benefit of people. What is this benefit that we can give them? Material benefit is in terms of sharing your wealth. Please understand, the more you share your wealth, the more your wealth will increase. It is good for the economy. Islam does not support an economic system that produces oligarchs. Today we have an economic system in this world which is haram, which has produced the system, a situation where there are literally, and these are World Bank figures, not my figures, there are literally 62 people who own 90% of the assets of this world. Not even one busload. There are three spaces there. This is absolute disaster. This is the basis of all the violence that you are seeing in this world. It is a huge disparity of income and wealth and assets between those people who have and those people who do not have. Islam does not promote this. Islam is against this. Islam is against, is in favor of and promotes the spreading of wealth. Islam is in favor of producing an economic system which shares wealth. This is good for the economy. A strong middle class is hugely good for the economy. To increase the purchasing power of people, this is the secret of a good economy. A good economy is not an economy which has a few people who have purchasing power and the rest of them are beggars. This is a lousy economy. But this is what we have created in this world, directly or indirectly. And Islam says don't do that. Islam says share your wealth. Increase the purchasing power of people. The ideal system in Islam is where a person who is liable to pay zakat will walk around and search for those who are eligible for zakat. And every person he goes to says, I'm sorry, I cannot accept your zakat because I am also liable to pay zakat. I am not eligible to receive zakat. Imagine how strong financially, I'm not even talking about deen, how strong financially such a society will be. That is the ideal society of a Muslim country, of a Muslim state, a society which is full of people who are free from want. I'm not saying they're full of millionaires, that would be wonderful, but maybe that does not happen. But definitely full of people who are free from want. Poverty is something that we have chosen to create in this world. Make no mistake. There is absolutely zero reason why there should be even one single poor person who does not have access to food, who does not have access to education, who does not have access to health. The three critical things that are needed. There is no reason in this world, the existing assets in this world are enough and more to ensure that there is not one single poor person on the face of the planet. And the only economic system that can create that is the economic system of Islam. But provided the Muslims follow it. We are 1.5 billion people on the face of this earth. I didn't go and count, this is the figure that is generally floated around. Imagine what will happen if those 1.5 billion people decide to do something. All you have to do is affect the lives of three more people and you are done. You are one in four. Affect the lives of three more people and you will have a world that is free from poverty. You like the idea or you don't like the idea? So go do it. Charity is something that we were created to do. The third basis of our celebration is the spirit of forgiveness. Is the spirit of forgiveness. Why must we forgive? Because we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the ayat of Surah An-Nur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, why forgive those? Do you not want Allah to forgive you on the day of judgment? Basis of forgiveness. Why forgiveness? Because this is the basis on which our ummah was created. The ummah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was created by forgiveness on the basis of forgiveness. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fa'budun. Verily this ummah of yours is one ummah. Is one ummah. And I am your Rabb, so worship me. And in another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used exactly the same ayat with one difference, one word, and Allah said, Inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fattaqun. Verily this ummah of yours is one ummah and I am your Rabb, therefore have my taqwa. Obey me, worship me and obey me. Worship me refers to our aqidah, which is in our heart, and obey me refers to our actions, which completely expand and fulfill every aspect of our life. Obey me in worship, obey me in your dealings, obey me in your families, obey me in how you treat your neighbors, obey me in how you live in the countries that you live in, and so on and so forth. Who obey whom? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. This is the basis of forgiveness. Now that can never happen. We can never be one people unless we learn to forgive each other. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam set the finest example of this in Fatah Makkah, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam destroyed enemies by destroying enmity. He did not destroy enemies by killing people. He destroyed enemies by destroying enmity. He removed enmity from the hearts of people by doing it himself. He forgave people, and that is the reason why we have the peace that happened after Makkah. Imagine if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was entitled in terms of justice, in terms of adl, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was entitled to extract retribution. He was entitled to demand compensation. And he was also in a position of political power to enforce that retribution and to enforce that compensation. If he had done that, what would have happened? Temporarily, some people would have been happy. But it would have opened wounds that would never have healed. My brothers and sisters, all hatred is fire. And the result is only ash. No matter what basis you are hating one another for. Islam is the meaning of love. Islam is the meaning, is the name of Islam, is the name for love. Loving one another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Eid is a time for joining of hearts. It's a time for meeting those we haven't met for a long time because we have something in the heart against those people. Eid is a time to forget that, to forgive that, and go meet them. Eid is a time for healing of wounds. All wounds that happen must be healed in Eid. Please remember, our Rabb, what is his name? Ar-Rahman. Our Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is his laqab, what is his title? Rahmatul lil alameen. What is Rahma? Rahma is the meaning of doing good in exchange for evil. I've said this many, many times. What is mercy? Mercy is to do good in exchange for bad. To do good in exchange for good is justice. It is not mercy. To do good in exchange for good is justice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what did Allah say? In addition to justice. Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan. Allah orders you to do adl, justice, and then ihsan. What is ihsan after justice? Is mercy. Do good to the one who did evil to you. And this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. So it's no good saying, but you see what they do. They are, whoever that they is, they are not our teachers. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is our teacher. So decide for yourself. Who is your teacher? Somebody who is preaching hatred or Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So who is a Muslim? The ayat which I recited, what did it say? Inna hadhi ummatuka ummatan wahida. You are one ummah. On the basis of what? Who we worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. They asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is a Muslim? He said, a Muslim is the one who said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Who worships in the direction of our Kaaba. And who eats what we slaughter. Three conditions. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say, a Muslim is a Barelvi. A Muslim is a Deobandi. A Muslim is a Tablighi. A Muslim is a Jamaati. A Muslim is a Ikhwani. A Muslim is Allah Kareem. How many do we have? I can recite section, sect after sect after sect after sect. And then there are sects within sects. Please, we have to wake up sometime. Anyone who preaches sectarianism, I don't care what he's saying. If someone says the Barelvi is superior to the Deobandi, reject him because he is preaching hatred. If somebody says that Deobandi is superior to a Barelvi, reject him because he is preaching hatred. Anyone who says and who tells you to think ill about another Muslim, who is a Muslim? The one who said La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Does the Shia say that? Yes. Does the Barelvi say that? Yes. Does the Deobandi say that? Yes. Does the Salafi say that? Yes. That is the way you get into Islam. And then of course you choose to be here and there. That's a different issue. Allah did not put you in charge to see what is in the hearts of people. Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, in a battle, kills a man after the man shouted, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. They reported this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, is this true? Is this what you did? Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, who is Usama bin Zayd? Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu was the son of Zayd bin Haritha, who was radiallahu anhu, who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had adopted as his son. Zayd bin Haritha, until the ayat came of Surah Al-Ahzab, was known as Zayd bin Muhammad. So Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu was like a grandson of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved him so much. But when this was reported to him, he asked Usama, did you do this? Usama bin Zayd said, Ya Rasulullah, that man was not sincere. He just said it to escape. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, aha, so you opened his chest and you went inside to see whether he was sincere? You went inside his chest to see if he was sincere? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on saying this until Usama bin Zayd said, I wish I was not even a Muslim. I wish I had accepted Islam after this day. I wish the earth would open and swallow me. I was so ashamed. I was so sorry that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this to me. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, acha, you went inside his chest. How easily we tell people and we talk about other people and we say he is insincere. You to munafiq hai, unhe to waisa hai. Allah se daro mere bhai. Allah se daro. Nobody but nobody on the face of this planet, and I don't care which kind of sheikh he is, I don't care which kind of peer and murshid he is, I don't care how big his pagdi is, I don't care what he does, I don't care if he stands inside the Kaaba and says it, I don't care if he stands on top of the Kaaba and says it, if somebody says that another Muslim is not a Muslim, then the person saying that is a kafir. And that is the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said that if one Muslim pronounces takfir on another Muslim and that other one is not deserving of that, then the one who said called him a kafir is a kafir. Please understand this. Make very clear, anyone preaching hatred, reject them completely and totally. I don't care what ideology, I don't care what dalil, there is no dalil bigger than the dalil of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. My brothers and sisters, today we are living in a time which is filled with hatred. Islam is the name of the brotherhood of faith among Muslims. And Islam is also the name of the brotherhood of humanity. A Muslim is a brother to every other Muslim. Anyone who said La ilaha illallah, and a Muslim is a brother to every other human being, whether they said La ilaha illallah or not. A Muslim is the brother of every Hindu. The Muslim is the brother of every atheist. A Muslim is a brother or sister of every Sikh and every Christian and every Jew. A Muslim is a brother or sister of everyone. And what is my dalil for this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Kuntum khaira ummatin ukhrijat linnas ta'muruna bil ma'rufi wa tanhauna anil munkar. What is the meaning of this ayah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, you are the best of people. You have been extracted for the benefit of all of mankind. Allah did not say, ukhrijat lil muslimin. Allah said, all of mankind. Are the other people included in mankind or not? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you are there to benefit them. Who is them? Everybody who is not a Muslim is them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what is the way of that benefit? Take them out from Jahannam and put them into Jannah. Ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkar. Enjoin good and forbid evil. What is the meaning of that? Save them from the hellfire. What is a bigger expression of love than giving the best you have to somebody? What do you do if you love somebody? You don't give them a bunch of bananas, you give them flowers, right? You don't say, this is great, good. Try it with your wife. When you go back, eat gift, give a bunch of bananas. And then you say that, you see, there's a lot of potassium and so on, good for your bones. Huh? She will say, it looks like you are more in the head than in the backbone. Seriously, what do we do when we give gifts? We give the best we have. As Muslims, what is the best we have? Our iman. La ilaha illallah is the best we have. Dawah is to give the best we have to the one who doesn't have. So we also share our wealth. But what is the best thing we have? La ilaha illallah. We give this best thing we have to whoever wants it. We go and present it. We don't argue. We don't beat them over the head with it. We present it to them. It's up to them to take it or leave it. But give the best to them. Dawah is the single most powerful sign of love for all of humanity. Please understand, you cannot even sell coke unless you make friends. You can't sell a thing unless you make friends. Dawah is by the winning of hearts, not by the winning of arguments. Arguments create enemies. Arguments have winners and losers. Dawa creates friends. Dawa creates friends. So dawa is a sign of the love that we have. Please understand, you can only cure evil by loving the person who is inflicted with that evil. I'll give you some examples. How do you cure a drug addict? By killing him? Or by hating him? Or by rejecting him and throwing him out of society? Or by loving him enough to take him in and sit with him through that traumatic process of de-addiction until he's free from that addiction? Which one? How do you cure somebody who has cancer? By killing them? Or by taking them in and working on that cancer and doing what it requires to cure that cancer? Make up your own examples. You cannot cure an evil unless you love the individual who has that. How do you change your children? For example, if you find that your son or daughter is going off on some, you know, vague paths, what do you do with them? Reject them, throw them out, you're not my son anymore? Yeah, do that. You think it will cure them? It will only make it worse. You have to embrace them. You have to sit with them. You have to not criticize them. You have to take all the, you know what they will give you. And love them enough to turn their hearts. This is how it is done. So how on earth do you believe that you are going to spread Islam by rejecting people? You cannot cure anything unless you love the one afflicted by that thing. And until you are willing to take some of that pain yourself. And that is why we need forgiveness. That's the reason why we need forgiveness. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and to enable us to forgive others and to use that as a dalil to forgive us. My brothers and sisters, so let us remember that when we celebrate Eid al-Fitr today, and make sure that we spread goodness all around us, inshallah. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.